Thanks everybody for coming. My goal in this time is really just to get us all together and remind us of what we're doing and just enable us to get a couple words out of clarification and reminder. So we have never really had a moment where all the children's workers have gotten together and just said, what are we really doing? I know the gospel and Bible and teaching, but I wanted to take just a few minutes to say what you're doing is actually a really big deal. It is actually needed, and it's not just this random conglomeration of things for our kids, that each piece of what we're doing for the boys and girls of our church fits into a grand mission that we hope to be able to see accomplished. So that boys and girls who come through our program, when they walk through from birth all the way through, they graduate out of high school, if God ever brings us high schoolers, which I'm pretty sure that if we wait long enough, some are coming. But if God brings us high schoolers, then what do we hope that they have seen? What do we hope that God has done in their hearts? So I'm going to pause for a moment and pray, and then I'll walk through this. And then I want to turn it over to Liesl and Mary, and they got a couple things to talk through. So I'll pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to partner with you in the ministry of reconciliation of boys and girls' hearts. You, Lord, as we speak truth, God makes his appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. And so, Lord, remind us of that mission. Keep us on focus on that mission and energize us on that mission. It's in Jesus' name I pray. So a text that I want us to really have as the forefront of what we're doing and why we're doing it is in Psalm 78. And when I think about children's ministry and the long view, anybody ever forget the long view in children's ministry? Just obey, you know? Like, the long view is this, that as we know God, those who know God want to pass off that information to others. So here's our goal. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done, so that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So really, that's the guiding verse for Gospel Grace Kids, from nursery all the way through, is that we would tell the coming generation who God is, what he's done, so that they might know those things and then rise up and tell them to their children so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's our goal. And I hope that infuses you with joy and hope. Like, keep going, because you have an opportunity to tell boys and girls truth about God that will change their life to the point that they will then pass it on to their children. So we hope to be able to make disciples of the next generation. So that's the guiding verse, and it's in this little booklet right here. You can look at the first page, our mission. If you wanted to go over it or look over it at another time, it's in there. But out of that flows our mission for Gospel Grace Kids, and our mission really fits in line with the rest of what we're doing as a church. It's nothing new. We exist to glorify God, and that's overarching. So at the end of the day, we do not hope that more kids come. You know, at the end of the day, we don't even really make it our main goal to see every child saved. We don't even make it our main goal that all of them end up turning out, quote unquote. Okay? That's way too much pressure for any of us. We are called to glorify God, and that's why we exist. So everything we do, we exist to glorify God. And out of that flows these next few things. We glorify God by supporting and encouraging parents. So we really serve parents. That's our main duty. The church is not the primary means for discipleship of the children in this church. Actually, the family is. So what we want to do is we want to come alongside and serve those parents, give them a place where they know that they will then be able to help that next generation become gospel-centered, grace-saturated disciples of Jesus Christ. So we exist to support and encourage parents in making their children, the next generation, into gospel-centered, grace-saturated disciples of Jesus Christ in a safe and secure environment. So that's what encompasses everything we do with our children here at this church. And out of that just flows this: we exist to glorify God by serving. We're servants. Which if we just get that out of the way at the beginning, it really does solve a lot of problems. Doesn't it? Because there's a lot of times where we need the fact that Christ is in us, working in us and through us, to make us into servants. Don't we? I mean, you got to come early to set up for the nursery. You got to stay late until every kid gets picked up. And doesn't that parent know that's talking in the lobby right now that their child's been in here for an hour and a half already? And the sermon was a little long. And, you know, you start going through all these things, and all of a sudden you start realizing, man, Lord, would you just make me into a servant to support and encourage parents? Because at the end of the day, we all come with all of these things that we want, you know. We want the worker that's going to work with us to handle children the same way we do, don't we? So we're sitting next to them, we're like, I wouldn't quite handle that job that way, right? Or we, you know, the situation changes and we need to be flexible and we need to work somebody's shift for them because they are sick or out of town.
Oh, it was just in there last week. We're going to have to listen to the sermon online to get ready for community group.
We exist to glorify God by really being servants of parents so that they can, to the best of their ability, make the next generation into gospel-centered, grace-centered disciples. So that service mindset ought to permeate everything. And that's really part of the goal, is just to say, hey, we're servants. When you come to do your shift at whatever it is, Truth Trackers on Wednesday night, when it's at a nursery duty for an extra thing, or when it's to teach the kids their lesson in Gospel Grace Kids or in Kids Church, I want to serve. And so I lay down my rights. And I let what Christ is doing in me, who came not to be served, but to serve, I let that fill me and change me. So that's our mission. Any questions or thoughts on that? That ought to infuse everything. And really, everything that comes out fits into this. So on this big piece of paper, this is, we're not going to go all through all this today. I just wanted to put it in your hands so you have it. This is how each piece of Gospel Grace Kids Ministry fits together. So what are we doing in the grand picture of everything? I'll fly through this, and then Mary, you are up. So we've got this progression that happens. Every child grows up, and they need different experiences in order to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So they start out in childcare, and really our goal in childcare, if you're working nursery, infants, toddlers, whichever one, we want to prepare children to hear and obey God's word by caring for them. That's our main goal in that, in a safe and loving environment. So we just want to give them a safe place where they can be loved and served. We want to care for them, and we want to begin to teach them to hear and obey God's word. So that's why there's a little time set aside where you sit the toddlers down, not the infants. You sit the toddlers down, and you kind of give them a little lesson. You teach them how to sit still. You give them rewards when they do. That's why we do it that way, because we want childcare to be that first start where they're hearing and obeying God's word. And then also to serve parents again. And that's a main goal of nursery, right? So that parents can be in the service and be able to focus and learn and grow and worship. As they grow, gospel growth, here's how gospel growth, Kids Church, and Truth Trackers fit together. Gospel growth, we're just teaching the stories of the Bible focused on Christ. So it's amazing how much kids learn from just hearing the stories over and over again. So we want to say, boys and girls, here's the stories of the Bible, and here's what they're all about. So when you teach gospel growth, that's your goal, is to really teach the stories, teach the facts of the story, explain to them what's going on, history, all those pieces of the Bible, the stories of the Bible, but focus in on Christ so that they know their Bibles. Then we've got Truth Trackers, which is different from gospel growth. In Truth Trackers, we're just giving doctrine. So it's not necessarily just the stories of the Bible. It's what the whole Bible is teaching. It's like the systematic approach of biblical doctrine. And we do that through question and answer format. If you work Truth Trackers, you know that. So they're getting, in gospel growth, they're getting the stories of the Bible. In Truth Trackers, they're getting the truth of the Bible. It doesn't necessarily fit into the story and timeline of the Bible, but it does teach everything that the Bible is teaching. And it's a serious curriculum that goes through, it's about 10, 12 doctrines.
18.
18 doctrines. They walk through 18 doctrines, and they repeat them over and over again so that they know what the Bible teaches. In Kids Church, we're really teaching kids how to sit still and worship the Lord. So they're actually having their own little worship service. Okay? There's somebody that preaches to them. It's not just like sit down and eat crackers and story time. They're actually getting a message from God's word, and they're being taught how to respond to that message. So what do you do when you feel like God's working in your heart? Well, here's what you do. We're teaching them so that they can graduate out of that into the worship service. Then we give them, if they want, worship service packets to help them in that fourth grade transition. It's like, oh, I was just in kids' church, and that was more fun? I don't know. Something. But we give them a worship service packet to help them understand preaching. After they grow out of truth trackers, then we want to really start to give them ownership of the doctrine they've learned. So it's really, it's that same systematic approach, but it begins to start to work into not just this is what it is, so therefore you believe it. It's actually, this is what it is, and I'm going to start to own that doctrine. Like, I'm going to actually start to make it my own. It's the same style of teaching with the doctrine that Truth Trackers is, but it begins to flesh out in more ownership of that doctrine. And then the last thing is parent training, and that's what we're doing actually right now with shepherding a child's heart and things like that. So that's the overall big picture, grand scheme. That's how it all fits together, so that hopefully we accomplish our mission to make disciples of the next generation. Any questions on that? Am I missing any piece that you're serving in? Like, wait, where's my bubble? Anybody? No. Okay, Mary, why don't you come on up and walk us through a couple of reminders for our child care team. You have 19 minutes. Don't take it all.
To just hear a word.
Yeah, you just
okay. Come. I know your Sunday is a really long shift, but please strive to be here by 9:30. It really makes it easier for, like, the grades are dropping their kids off a little earlier because they're doing Sunday school and worship team is here practicing. So it's just, if you can strive to be here by 9:30, it's really helpful. And our check-in and check-out procedures are constantly changing, as you all know. But we're going to try for now, continuing with the parent bracelets, I'm going to exchange the numbers for something a lot smaller so it's not so bulky on your arm. The kids will have a label, just a sticky label on their back with a matching number, and that way it'll be a little faster than pinning and unpinning. But just the nature of, as we grow, this is going to constantly get tweaked. The church we came from, it was constantly getting tweaked. It's just... we'll try to keep it as simple as possible, and it's for safety. It's as we grow, the volunteers might not know all the families. We have visitors that come in. We might not know who the kids belong to. So it's primarily just for our protection and the kids' protection. And bathroom procedures have changed a little bit in this building, and they've changed a couple times since we moved in here. But only ladies can take the kids to the bathroom, and we're going to use the lobby bathroom just for visibility because that back one's just kind of way off in the corner, and there's traffic from the hotel coming through. So if your kids are fully potty trained, we'll take them. If they need assistance, you need to just take them yourself and plan on coming out and doing breaks by yourself. And just check the bathroom. Make sure there's no other people in there. If there are, then just stay in there with the children. And you can help them wash hands and clean up, but they need to be able to potty all by themselves. And we're only doing this when the floater comes out, so there always has to be two people in the nursery room. So if somebody needs a potty break at another time, then that's what the floater's for. We need to text them and get them out there. But just for, again, for our protection, there always needs to be two workers in the room. And about the floater, also try to be here by 9:30 on your day to help with the drop-off procedure. The in between Sunday school and church, plan to be there to help move the toddlers to their room. And then what we've been doing, and it seems to be working fine, is coming out when they dismiss kids' church and just cover for potty breaks. And it's probably best if the floater's the one who just comes out and gets the kids and takes them to the potty, and that way you just know when it's your turn rather than swapping off with workers. And then you're also on call if you're the floater. So if we have way too many kids or the infants need an extra set of hands or whatever, then they can call you to come out. Drinks and food. Just for allergy purposes, we're asking that nobody bring food into the nurseries. Infants, of course, can have whatever they need, but toddler nursery, try to limit the snacks you bring in, and workers don't bring food in. And if the workers are fine to bring a drink, but try to bring it in a lidded container just to protect from burns or spills. And we are switching to Chex, rice Chex, and the toddlers just, it's got no dairy and no wheat, so just for allergy purposes. That's it.
Do you have anything else you want to share?
I don't think so. Does anybody have questions or?
If you know anyone that you'd like to recruit,
that's another thing I should share. We are very tight right now. I have like 21 workers, and that barely covers two nurseries for a month. If we have 5 Sundays, then somebody's serving twice. So we're just kind of in a season of scarcity.
So if you'd like to serve
right
less, go find someone and say, you need to serve the nursery, and then we'll get them through the process.
So if you notice yourself being scheduled more, like March has 5 Sundays, so you might have gotten a few more shifts this time around. So.
Thanks, Mary.
We've just started a couple weeks ago. Susanna took the first round. We're having like a 15-minute lesson, 15 to 20 minutes in the Sunday school time. I have a list of ladies that's going to be rotating, but if anybody's interested in doing that, they can see me about that too. And then the coloring sheet and stuff that correlates will be done after the split. So that.
Okay, green means go. Where do I point it?
You just click the next button. Yeah.
Next.
Ta-da!
At the rec center, it is a little bit different, obviously, than here, because it's kind of helter-skelter, and there's all sorts of other kids that come. So as soon as you get there, you really just need to have your eyes on the doors. And probably it would be best if the floater specifically is just thinking doors from the moment you get there, because the other teachers are setting things up and putting things where they belong. So make sure you have your eyes on the door so you know when they come in, because some kids just come running in. And so there's like absolutely no check-in with the older kids. They're just coming in. So we need to keep our eyes and make sure we know who comes in so that no one goes back out. All right, so that's probably the most important thing right now is the doors, like that. All of a sudden, we'll have other kids that aren't even part of the program at the doors, and we would love to teach them, but we need to be aware of what's going on. And then because at the end, we have shifts of people leaving. So there are some that start leaving right at 8:15, and then there are some that don't come till about 9. So at that time, it gets even more of a chance that we could lose a child. So make sure you know who's leaving, and then if you are left as a teacher, again, keep your eyes on the doors. And then it's starting to get warmer, so we can use, again, the playground. At that time, we have to have a worker out there. You can't just open the door and they're out there, okay? So you have to go out with them. At least one person needs to be out there with those kids. Because what it's ending up as is there's almost 45 minutes of playtime because we have people leaving. So we have to be aware and supervise their playtime. Okay, let's see, what else do I have? Playland, yes, yeah, Playland. And then check in, check out, like I said, I mean, we know the kids now. Now that we've gotten into a routine, we pretty much know who is there, so you don't need to sit and write down everybody's name. However, in the nursery, we want to make sure there's a list of the regulars with cell phone numbers. So that's something that's a little different than what we've had. Just so Nikkel knows who she can call if there's sudden need besides the floater. So that is how it's going. It's going great. I want to encourage you. There are kids that are coming. Their parents are not safe. There are kids that if you make a phone call, they will come. So I want to encourage you. When I went to Northland, Les Olala, who was the president at that time, so I'm pretty old, so that was way back, but he was picked up for church, and he was taken by someone else who loved him. So I want to encourage you, you look at those kids, they're chock full of potential, and there's so much there. So I love that we have these kids that we don't know their families, and you have a great opportunity to win them to the Lord and to disciple them. It's such a great blessing, and I'm so thankful for all of you. So thankful for the time that you put into it, the time you study your lessons, and the time that you help your own kids to memorize the verses. This is something I want to encourage you with. If you can take a couple of days a week and just teach your children how to memorize, and then you try to help, and you try to help other parents learn how to teach their children to memorize. We don't live in a culture that memorizes anymore. So if you can help with that and encourage other parents, all you need to do is repeat, 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 or repeat up high, repeat down low, use a song, whatever. But just help them, because then they will learn those verses. They know all the Disney songs. They know all sorts of stuff from all the TV that they watch. They can memorize. So I want to encourage you with that. As we do truth trackers, you are making a difference. It's very important. Thank you.
I do just want to say, Mary does an awesome job with nursery, scheduling pretty much everything that happens on Sundays, and really keeps it running. It's always a blessing when you don't hear from the nursery worker when you're in charge of it, and it's been a blessing that Mary handles so much. And then Liesl does an awesome job with Wednesday program and then with our Backyard Bible Club. So let's give them a round of applause. They are huge. I will mention to you what these two things I gave you are, so that you know which order in your hands. Really, this big sheet here is just what I explained, that little graph that goes across. It just fleshes out each piece of the program. It's not in-depth as to, you know, how it all works, but it just gives you a taste of how it all fits together. So you can look through that, and if you're interested in knowing more about what your kids are getting or what you're doing as a part of this program, it's in here, how it all fits together. So that's this piece. The other piece is this, and I want to say huge thanks to Mary and Courtney Howell. They worked together to really put this together. This is really how we can, as a church, prepare, how we can really have a safe and secure environment. So you'll see stuff in here that we're already doing, but what we did was just we put it into a place where it's all consistent and unified. So there's stuff you've been doing that's in here, but it all came into one place now, to where we can say, if something happens, this is what we should do, or if something's off track, this is what puts us back on track, this is the standard. It fits underneath our mission to serve. Okay, we are not police people first, we are servants first, so this helps us serve better. And so in light of being servants, we use this. There's a couple things I want to draw your attention to that are in here that will be helpful. The first one is the behavioral expectations, and if you've wondered how to be consistent with behavior, so their kids are not perfect. I know that is just a surprising statement, but there will be times where they distract, disturb, possibly disrespect or defy you, and so this little behavioral expectations sheet I would just commend to you because it has how we want that to be handled across the board in kids ministry. So how do you administer a timeout? When is that appropriate? What happens if a child continues to distract after you've warned them? You know, what ramifications do you have? And that's spelled out here, so I commend that to you. And then also just making sure that you've got a good idea for how your part of the program works. So just read through it and make sure you are saying, you know what, this is what we're doing, and I'm good with it. Yep, just brush up on all of the pieces of it. So that's those two pieces. I want to just say we're going to start doing a parent meeting like this every quarter, and our next one is going to be in May to really prep us for summer ministry. So we ramp up kids ministry in the summer big time. We've got a carnival that runs 4 Saturdays. We've got Backyard Bible Club. We keep rolling with everything else. So we're going to do a special training seminar to really equip you on how to be a good teacher. So we're going to plan it out, have a great... We're going to actually probably do it on a Saturday night or a Sunday night, have a meal together, pray for our kids together, give you tools on how to get kids' attention, how to run a game, how to walk through, how to study a lesson to prepare for kids, what you ought to be thinking while you're teaching, how to do this behavioral expectations thing. So that's coming in May. I'll just commend it to you. It's one you don't want to miss, so we'll make sure you get plenty of information about it to come. So I have 6 minutes left on my closing prayer, and you can go to lunch. So let's pray.